Good morning. Our reading this morning is from Paul's letter to the Christians at Ephesus from the first chapter, and you can follow it on your service sheet. Thanksgiving and prayer. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Barbara, thank you very much. Heavenly Father, speak to us this morning, we pray. Amen. It's wonderful to see you all here this morning. My name's Janet, I'm one of the clergy here, and I also preached last week, but it'll be somebody else next week. Have you ever had to sign a card for somebody? Do you remember when Nellie was retiring and we all signed a card, and often people sign a card with love and prayers, or they say something like, oh, I hope it goes well, we'll pray for you. Or you know somebody's ill and you sign a card, hope it goes well, I'll pray for you. Or maybe you are as excited as I know some people are about the fact there's a new royal baby boy. And I know, I suspect one or two people here may well have sent cards or thought, there's a new royal baby. But I was reflecting on, what do we mean when we say, with love and prayers, when we write something in a card? Or when we say to somebody, of course I'll pray for you. What does that actually mean in practice? Or do we just say, well, may God bless you, may God bless you. Last week we started looking at the book of Ephesians. I said it was 6 chapters long, and I said the first 3 chapters are all about doctrine, about Jesus Christ and the church. And then the last 3 chapters are more about application, how we live, our relationships. And last week, as we looked at chapter 1, it was all about praise. It was about Paul blessing God for blessing the Ephesians with so many blessings, things like redemption, salvation. And last week, we said the letter was written to the holy people. That's what he calls members of the church, saints, holy people, in Ephesus and in Christ. And I said about the fact we belong to those two realms. We belong in a place, but we are also in Christ. And then we looked at that very, very long sentence, verses 3 to 14, full of praise to God for all his blessings. And now today's passage, we've got another one sentence long in the Greek, verses 15 to 23. Do follow it from the service sheet. It's just one sentence in the Greek. And it's a prayer. It's a prayer of thanks. It's a prayer for the Ephesians, giving thanks and praying for them. So I just want to say a little bit about prayer this morning. The fact that prayer follows on from praise. The fact prayer is continual, we're to keep going. And finally, the fact prayer is specific. He prays very specifically for wisdom, knowledge, hope, and power. So the first one, prayer follows praise. Now, if you have a look at the first verse of the passage, it says, "For this reason." Now, that doesn't make sense unless you know what the previous verses were. For this reason. Previous verses were full of praise to God for all his blessings, full of praise and thanks. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people. Paul is full of praise to God. He's full of thankfulness to God. And he starts by praising God before he prays. Now, is there anybody here like me that was brought up on when you pray, you do ACTS, acts? Anyone remember that? You remember what the A stands for? Adoration. There's something about starting with adoration. C was confession. T was thanksgiving. S, supplication. There's a slightly easier one for modern day children. I teach them the teaspoon one. TSP, thank you, God. Sorry, God. Please, God. Thank you, sorry, please. Prayer should begin with praise, with thanks, with adoration. When we say the Lord's Prayer, the very first line is, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." At the beginning of a service, we start with praise. We start with songs. Today, we started with over 1,000 tongues to sing. There's liturgy in our services. We start with praising God. And praise reminds us of who we're praying to. Praise puts us in that right position. It reminds us we are under his feet, that Jesus is head of everything, that God can do anything. Praise reminds us God is sovereign. He can do immeasurably more than all we ask. And that's a quote from Ephesians chapter 3. Praise changes, I think, what goes on in our brain. It helps align our heart in the right way. Before I start burbling out, "God, you've got to do this and do that and do the other," praise centers me first on God. First, Paul praises, and then he prays for the Ephesians. Last June, something happened that was really difficult for me, and I wanted to pray to God, sort it out. Something really awful has happened. Somebody had sent me something that was ever so upsetting and hurtful, and I was absolutely heartbroken. And I made myself praise God before I prayed. I thanked God that God knew what was going on. I thanked God that he was sovereign, that he was the same yesterday, today, and forever. I was able to thank God that he was sovereign, and then I was able to get on with the crying, "Why, God, why have you allowed this?" But what it did was it helped me to sleep. It helped me to sleep that night. It helped align me praising God first. God is sovereign. So when I pray, I don't always succeed with starting with the adoration, but there's something different happens when we sing a song, or we read a psalm, or you listen to a song, when you listen to music. There's something about praising God first, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name," before we get on with the prayers. Paul thanks God. It makes our minds and hearts turn towards God. So at bedtime, it's good, I was taught to always say thank you to God before you get on to the prayers. I don't know if anyone here counts their blessings. You remember that one? Count your blessings, name them one by one. It changes, I think, the way that we are before God. So prayer follows praise. Prayer follows praise. Secondly, prayer is continual. There's a keep going to it. Have a look at verse 16. Paul says, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. Verse 17, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, I haven't stopped. I keep asking. Paul is writing this from prison. He's in prison in Rome, and very occasionally he gets news of the church in Ephesus. But even when he doesn't get recent news, he keeps praying for them. He prays and prays for the Ephesians. He doesn't just say, God, get me out of this prison. He praises God and he prays for the Ephesians. And Paul says, I haven't stopped praying for you. I felt really challenged by this. It made me think, have I stopped praying for somebody I said I'd pray for? I've got a goddaughter, I've got a godson. Do I still pray for them as much as I did once? I don't think I do, if I'm honest. Is there a country that's on your heart? Is there a mission partner that you support and you said, oh, I'll pray for you? Paul says, keep on praying. I haven't stopped praying. He keeps on asking. God does not mind if we repeat our prayers. You remember the parable of the persistent widow, where in effect she's commended almost for nagging God. Keep on praying. Now, is there anyone besides me who enjoys Strictly Come Dancing? We like Strictly Come Dancing. I know you do, Barbara, and so do I. Right at the end, Tess and Claudia together, to finish off the show, they always say, keep dancing. You know that bit? Keep dancing. And it's a reminder to everyone to keep dancing, keep practicing, you'll get better, keep on dancing. And in the same way, we're being told to keep on praying. It's easier if you keep your prayers in a notebook. I have a little pink notebook at home, and most days I shall write down things I'm praying for, and sometimes I go back and look at things I've prayed for, and I write them down again. For example, Madeleine McCann, I'm praying they'll get news. I'm still praying for the Chibok girls and that Nigerian girl called Leah who was abducted. There are things that we pray for. Keep on praying. In my little book, it's got the name Asia Bibi, and today on the news, they were saying she's finally flown to Canada from Pakistan and she is safe. And her name is in my book years and years ago. Keep on praying. Keep on praying. And because of the way I'm wired, I often go back and tick the prayers when they get answered. That's very satisfying. So I just challenge us today, is there anything we've stopped praying for? Who should we keep on asking for? And I always say to people, do not underestimate the power of a praying person, a praying mother or father. Don't underestimate the power of an uncle or an aunt who prays for you, or a godmother or a godfather. I am blessed to still have a godmother alive. She's 92, she's an Anglican nun, and she still prays for me. She still prays for me. That's a long time. So, we've thought about prayer following praise. We've thought about prayer is continual, this idea of keep going, keep on asking. And finally, pray specifically for things. I don't have a time to go through every single verse from this passage, but Paul is praying very specific prayers for the Ephesians. Verse 17, he prays for that desire for a spirit of wisdom and knowledge. Verse 18, he's praying for the confidence to hold firmly to their hope of their inheritance. And then verse 19, he's praying they know that assurance that God's power is available. So he's praying specifically for wisdom, for knowledge, for hope, for power. It's very Trinitarian. If you have a look at verse 17, he talks about God the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, and the Spirit of wisdom and revelation. I started by saying how hard it is sometimes when you say, oh, I'll pray for you. So on Sundays or on Wednesdays, we try every now and again to remember our bishops, pray for our bishops. Now, I don't know if Deb knows this, but when she prayed for Bishop Viv and Bishop Lee, I noticed she didn't just say, God bless Bishop Viv and Bishop Lee. She said, give them a spirit of wisdom and revelation. And that was taken, I hope, straight from this passage today. There's something about praying very specifically for people, and bishops need wisdom and revelation. People need God's Holy Spirit, not just earthly wisdom, but spiritual wisdom. Revelation, that means disclosure. It means understanding of God and his ways being revealed to us, understanding God's plans and purposes. It's a prayer, that desire for people to know God better, not just in their heads. He's not praying, oh, they have more head knowledge, but heart knowledge, to know God better. So are we open to learning more, to gaining wisdom and revelation from God? Pray for open minds, not closed minds, for open hearts, not closed hearts. Pray for that spirit of wisdom and knowledge. Next thing he prays for is in verse 18, that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you. And I was so pleased today to see song number 3, which Olwyn carefully chose. It was, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. And that's what we've just sung. And the prayer is that we'll know the hope to which God has called you, that hope of eternal life, the future inheritance. It's praying for confidence, for our people to hold on, to keep on going, to keep hoping. It's praying for God's holy people, again, the saints, you and I. He's praying for eyes to be open, for us to be enlightened, to see what God is doing, how God is at work. And then in verse 19, the prayer goes on, and in his incomparably great power for us who believe, that power is the same as the mighty strength he exalted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. And that third prayer is that assurance in God's power, praying that God's power is available for our needs. That very same power seen in Jesus' resurrection and ascension, available for us. And God's power, he uses the adjectives incomparably great, mighty strength, the greatest power in the universe. Paul was writing to the Ephesians, and Ephesus was a center of political power. It was the center of Roman imperial influence, and the city had very powerful social and civic concerns. It also had a lot of religious power. There were cults and sects and the worship of Diana there. So it's interesting that one of the things he prays for the Ephesians is to know the power of God. And the prayer finishes off with a reminder that Christ is the creator, the ruler throughout all time, and all things are placed under his feet. A reference to Psalm 8, Christ is the head of the church. That's a fairly brief summary of an awful lot that's packed into those verses. But Paul is praying very specific prayers for those Ephesians. That desire for wisdom and knowledge. He's praying not just for their heads, but for their hearts. He's praying for their eyes to be opened. He's praying they'll hold on to that hope. He's praying for them to know God's great power. So if you're stuck what to pray for somebody, and you just say, oh, I'll pray for you, God bless you, you can use this passage as a prayer. So this morning, I thought I'd better try out what I preach. And so I read through some of this prayer from Ephesians 1. And instead of saying, I'll pray for you, Ephesians, I prayed by name for each member of my family. I substituted their name. And I prayed for those spiritual blessings. Not material blessings, spiritual blessings. I prayed they'd know that spirit of wisdom and knowledge. They'd hold firmly to the hope. I prayed they'd know about God's great power. So we've thought today about three things to do with prayer. Prayer follows after praise. Praise aligns us to God. Prayer follows praise. We've learnt that Paul's prayers were continual. Keep on going. Keep dancing. Keep on praying. Don't stop. And we've also learnt that Paul's prayers were very specific. He prayed for spiritual blessings for those Ephesians. Let's finish now, and just in the quiet, just bring before God our prayer life. Let's bring before God the people on our minds. And let's just reflect on what God is saying to us this morning. Heavenly Father, as we reflect on our prayer life and we look at the example of St. Paul and his prayer life, please help us by your Spirit. Help us to praise you before we come with that long list of things we want to pray for. Help us to keep on going and not stop praying for people, for countries, for missionaries, for situations. Help us to keep on praying. And help us, Lord, to pray specifically for that spirit of wisdom and knowledge, for hope, and for your power. We ask for your help in the name of Jesus. Amen.